Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke with Let's Talk Art. Today I'm talking art with Dr. Alice Phillips, who is the curator of the Nocturnes exhibit at the University of Iowa. It goes on until October 15th. Enjoy! We're still in the process of lining up sponsors for Let's Talk Art with Brooke, but in the meantime, if you'd like to support the podcast, please look for my book, Reptiles on Caffeine, on Amazon. Enjoy the podcast. Hi, I'm talking to Dr. Alice Phillips from the University of Iowa. She's the exhibitionist there at the gallery there, and we're talking about the Nocturnes exhibit. How you doing, Alice?
Great, Brooke. Thanks for having me.
What?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm sorry. I liked what this says, what this press release said. Nocturnes traces the artist's portrayals of night skies from the mid-19th century to the present. And I have a question about that, but first I want to ask, how did this exhibition come to be?
Well, it's sort of inspired by my own research, which is in late 19th century French symbolist art, looking at supernatural beliefs and dreams and the unconscious. So I was drawn to kind of the nocturnal side of the artist's mind, and then was inspired by our university's museum collection to combine that with actual images of night skies as well as images of dreams and the unconscious.
Cool. So this was your brainchild?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, I haven't seen that many pictures of it yet, but it sounds like an amazing exhibit. And my question is, how have the artist's portrayals of the night skies changed through the century?
Well, I'm starting in the 19th century, and can look at going back to images of the American wilderness and actual landscapes by night that interested artists. So it's a time before artificial light, we had to work from the imagination and by moonlight.
Right.
Going from 19th century darkened landscapes through images of night and psychological darkness, like Edvard Munch and Odéon Redon. Whistler, of course, had his Nocturnes interpretation of night images. And in the 20th century, you see the cities by night, so electricity, artificial lights, changing the way artists see it, light, shadow, cities.
Right. I didn't even think about the effect electricity or sunlight or anything that would have on the night sky, basically the portrayal of the night sky, because that definitely would change it. So I bet you've got some really great night skies in Iowa.
I do.
Are any of these artists from Iowa?
Looking at my list here, off the top of my head, most are late 19th century European and American landscape artists. We have an artist who taught at Iowa, Mauricio Lisansky, who is well known for his work with our printmaking department here, surreal-inspired innovation. We have some of his cosmic and alchemical images.
Cool. So quite a wide spectrum. So where did these paintings come from? How did you get them? Were they a gift, or did you just have them in the closet, or where did they come from?
All of the works are from the collection of the University of Iowa Museum of Art.
Cool.
And actually in 2008, there was a flood in Iowa City, and our museum was flooded.
Oh, no.
We rescued the art. We were out in the rain wrapping it up to take some more safe.
Yeah.
The collection's been in storage and at other museums around the state. So we developed this legacy sharing program and traveling exhibitions, so we can still share our collection until we have a new building. So hopefully, but in the next few years.
Yeah.
And so I went through our collection and looked for images of night skies and dreams, kind of artists' interpretations of the unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I just love it. A lot of these museums seem to have that same story. They just kind of found a bunch of paintings kind of in the storage and just kind of came up with a new concept for a new exhibit. And I like that whole kind of reusing of images. I think that's a great, putting a new spin on them. What intrigued you about the night skies?
Universal fascination with the night skies. Going back to artificial lights thousands of years ago, the first artists were looking at the skies for navigation, mm-hmm. inspiration, and painting in caves using only, you know, the light of a small candle or tallow lamp. So I've been learning about how you would paint that long ago from just this one light to modern times. I'm sorry, could you tell me your question again? I'm a little nervous.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's okay. I was just saying, like, what intrigued you about the night sky, personally? So, yeah, I mean, I think the night sky is just fascinating because you can use it as, kind of like scary or threatening, but you can also use it as kind of romantic. You can use it as peaceful. So I mean, there's so many different like portrayals of it. And I was just wondering what your particular drawing to the night skies were.
Well, again, that was my interest in the nocturnal side of the mind that I studied with French symbolist painters like Odillon, Redon, and Gustave Moreau, kind of the decadent side of humanity, and just onto images of the stars and just in the history of their use for navigation and inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That is really fascinating. What was the criteria for the inclusion in this? Obviously they were all night skies, but was there any other kind of, besides the timeline, but any other kind of criteria for the inclusion in this exhibit?
It was mostly night landscapes and also images inspired by dreams, mm-hmm. or literary images, mm-hmm. for example, one of Pellicle's prints from Hamlet, Hamlet meeting his father's ghost by night on the terrace.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, that's a good one. And I was wondering, you say it's from the mid-19th century to the present. Why is that? Is that just because that's what you had, or is there a different reason for that?
Well, it's mostly our collection's focus is modern art of the 19th century. Mm-hmm. My area of study is 19th century through modern, so decided to focus on that through narrowed down the exhibition.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now you mentioned that like dreams and phantasmagoria. What sorts of portrayals of that do you have?
Well, I have a print by Bodillon Redon, for example, from his Temptation of Saint Anthony series, mm-hmm. where frightful creatures arise, it's called, and has these strange primordial images, mm-hmm. emerging from the darkness, mm-hmm. or back into it. Because a print by Goya, you're probably familiar with them, mm-hmm. A Sleep of Reason produces monsters.
Yeah, that's scary.
But the artist is of tormented by these nocturnal creatures and visions.
Right. Right. So a lot of nightmares?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. And I was wondering if there were for these artists, do you think that this was, what do you think inspired these? Were there kind of like any external circumstances that inspired this, or did they just think, hey, I want to paint a nightmare? Or was this coming from their own circumstances?
I think some were inspired by personal visions and mythologies. Others are social commentary, like Goya's reflecting on the Inquisition and the dark time in history.
Mm-hmm.
Others are historical, like we have one of Robert Rauschenberg's prints from the Stoned Moon series in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
He witnessed the launch of Apollo 11, mm-hmm. and did a series of prints based on that first space flight to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Others are images of psychological darkness.
Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah, I think that's probably the most frightening. So, is there any timeline or evolution of these portrayals of the night skies through the century? Like, can you say that this was, I can tell this was painted like earlier in the century because of this or anything like that? Or are they all just kind of the same, basically?
Many are prints. Etchings and engravings. The earlier prints are more basic etchings of landscapes, and it's as the century goes on, more artists experiment with techniques,
mm-hmm.
and you see just the invention of photography in the 19th century
right.
changed the way artists saw the light.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the process depended on light and dark, of course.
Right.
But then artists more experimental in the 20th century, especially after surrealism and experimenting with techniques like Rauschenberg later on.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And I was thinking that, and I guess going back to the question about the way that the artist portrayed this darkness or night skies. I know I've heard with acting that when you're portraying like a sad character, you kind of have to draw back on your own experiences to portray it right. Do you think that artists have to do the same thing? Because painting is kind of an emotional thing.
Some of these images are partly documentary pieces,
mm-hmm.
or say in the 19th century, recording this untamed, dark wilderness that we still have this year. And then in the late 19th century, they're drawing more on individual visions, personal imagery.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And I liked what your press release said that, I was thinking that darkness doesn't have to represent scariness, but your press release says it can compel you to dream. So, and I was wondering, is your PhD in art history?
Yes.
Cool. So you've been doing this for a long time. Cool. In Iowa only, or have you been traveling around?
I lived in Paris briefly while working on my dissertation.
Wow.
And I've been living in Iowa since I finished my PhD here.
Mm-hmm.
And working at the museum and the art school,
mm-hmm.
the slide library, and doing youth independence curating projects for the museum.
Cool, cool. What was Paris like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I was able to go to a museum every day.
Wow.
Spent a lot of time at the Moreau Museum.
Mm-hmm. Cool, cool. So, yeah, because they have them, like, everywhere. So, was there a favorite?
My favorite museum is the Gustave Moreau Museum. I wrote most of my dissertation about his work.
Mm-hmm.
And Maison Victor Hugo, my favorite writers.
Yeah. Cool, cool. Well, that's exciting. So does the U.S. pale in comparison now?
Not really. But I'd always like to go back.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, cool. So now where did you go here? Where did you go to school in the U.S.?
My undergrad at Brunel University in North Georgia, mm-hmm. and my master's at the University of Georgia,
mm-hmm.
and then came to the University of Iowa for my PhD.
Cool. Cool. That's quite a, you've traveled quite a bit, and those are all different places. Yeah, I went to school in Georgia too for a year on Lookout Mountain, and that's and I'm from I live in North Carolina, so I mean it wasn't too much of a difference for me, but yeah, Georgia from the south to Iowa and then to Paris, that's that's quite a bit. That's, you're well traveled. So any other places that you would, any other, what galleries have you, what galleries would you love to go to if you could go to any gallery in the world?
Question. I'd like to go to the Hermitage in St. Petersburg. Never been there.
Yeah.
Always more cities in Europe I'd like to visit. Mm-hmm. I haven't been to Amsterdam yet. I've been going to Ireland my past few trips. I'm interested in Celtic art and mythology, so that might be my next project.
Yeah. Have you been to the Hugh Lane Museum?
Which one, sorry?
Sorry?
I couldn't hear you. Which one?
Oh, I'm sorry. Have you been to the Hugh Lane Gallery?
The Hugh Lane?
Yeah.
Don't think so.
I would love to go to that gallery. It's in, there's one in Dublin, and there's, I think there's that National Gallery in England that he founded. But yeah, I'm actually working on a book on him. He's related to my boyfriend, and he's a fascinating guy, and I'd love to go to that gallery in Ireland.
Oh.
But you said that you've been to Ireland?
Couple of times.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm so jealous.
That's beautiful.
So what other exhibits do you have going on coming up?
Well, I finished one called Exploring the Demi Monde, mm-hmm. an temptation at the Fantasieca, and that one was French Prince at the Figge Art Museum in Davenport, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And my next show is called Bestiary, images of fantastical creatures from the museum's collection.
Cool. Cool. So it's a lot of dreamlike stuff, right?
Right.
So is that a favorite topic of yours?
Sorry,
this is hard. I'm sorry. I know. Is that one of your favorite topics? Is that something you like to do exhibits on?
It's creatures. The bestiary.
Well, just kind of like, yeah. Well, it sounded kind of like it was animals, like kind of in, like, kind of like dreamlike states. Like, I could be wrong. I could have misunderstood you. So they're animals. I thought I understood that you just said that they were kind of like animals in like dreamlike states.
Oh, it's a fantastical creatures going from medieval bestiaries to contemporary art. So the dragons and griffins of medieval prints through of modern artists' interpretation of those.
Right. Right. Cool. That sounds really interesting. How do you go about preparing for an exhibit like that? Do you where do you commission the works from? How do you go about getting them?
Well, all of the works are from the university museum's collection.
Mm-hmm.
So we already have access to them, and we need to select the works for the shows. Get them appraised and see what's safe to travel. There are more works I would show, but some are too fragile or too valuable to travel.
Right.
That's an issue. But I go through our collection database looking for inspiring images for my ideas for the exhibition and put together a checklist.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you said that you do have a lot within the collection, you still have to get some from other places?
Yes. Well, we have all of the works are from our collection. They're just kind of scattered right now because of the flood.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully there will be a new building commissioned and we can bring our collection together again.
Right. So like, how many paintings were destroyed in this flood?
Actually, none. All of the art was saved thanks to the staff and volunteers helping wrap it up and put it on a truck to be taken out of Iowa City before the flood.
Cool.
Rose.
That's awesome. That's smart thinking. Cool, but you were saying that just the building was kind of ruined. Is that correct?
Correct. It's been renovated, but we can't move the collection back into it.
Right. So yeah, so that's really cool. That's that was some great thinking on the behalf of the staff. So, well, how is Nocturnes being received by the school, by the public?
Well, there's been a lot of interest in it already. The show, the traveling exhibition, so it'll first open at the University of Northern Iowa in August.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're preparing some programming for it, and sounds like it's going to be an exciting show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think it sounds interesting. If I was closer, I'd go see it. But
well, I'm happy to give you a link to our database's website where you could search some of the images I've mentioned.
Yeah.
Or browse our collection.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that.
That is digital.com. lib.uiowa.edu/UIMA. It's our museum's collection through the library's main page.
Cool. So you said, I'm sorry, you said it was U. So, say that again.
digital.lib.uiowa.edu.
lib.uiowa.edu/UIMA. Awesome. Cool. Well, I will include this link on the web post. And also I was wondering if you had any, talk. Okay. So everyone likes it at the school, and the audience and the students and the public?
That's gotten a good response so far, yes.
Cool, cool. Well, thank you so much for being on with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, let me turn this off. Thank you so much to Dr. Alice Phillips for telling us about the Nocturnes exhibit at the University of Northern Iowa. And thank you to you for listening. I know I learned a lot. If you're in the Iowa area, check out the gallery at the university. If you're